providing opportunities to develop more women leaders in academic medicine. Welcome to Conversations Between Colleagues with thescoperadio.com at Learn, Serve, Lead. We're exploring the innovative ideas that are shaping the landscape of academic medicine. In this episode, we get the opportunity to listen to a conversation between Dr. April Mahanty, Vice Chair for EDI in the Department of Internal Medicine at University of Utah Health, and Dr. Michael Rubin, Vice Chair for Faculty Affairs and Faculty Development in the Department of Internal Medicine at University of Utah Health. So when it comes to providing these opportunities to develop more women leaders in academic medicine, let's start the conversation with some of the challenges that face women becoming leaders in academic medicine. Dr. Mahanty, why don't you kick that off?
Women, you know, I think we struggle with getting pulled in a lot of different directions at this stage. You know, certainly, you know, with our academic goals, and then, you know, there's, I think, a challenge too that there's, you know, not as many role models that in leadership as women. And, you know, we're getting pulled both in terms of, like I said, academic goals and challenges, but also just, you know, things that, you know, work-life integration and, you know, trying to navigate all of that. So, yeah, I think those are some of the things for sure.
You know, what I would say is, in addition to what Dr. Mahanty had said, I think, you know, when you talk about the challenges for women in academia, I think one of the biggest challenges is the challenge of opportunity. And a lot of times these opportunities just don't exist to the same extent as they do for men. And there are, you know, many different reasons for that. One of them is that I think a lot of women faculty don't get the same type of exposure to leadership and the same, as Dr. Mahanty said, the same type of coaching or mentorship or, you know, or guidance from leaders. And so they don't have that same experience. And a lot of times when leadership opportunities open up, women faculty are often not the first people that are thought of because they don't have that same level of exposure and, you know, guidance from people who are in those positions to grant those opportunities. So that's one of the things we're trying to address.
And what is the solution to this problem? I suppose there's a lot of solutions. There's a lot of different ways you could tackle this problem, but discuss some of the possible ones.
Yeah, so we're really excited. There's a lot of great kind of trainings, both, you know, at our academic and at the University of Utah leadership trainings, and WMC has trainings. We get bombarded with a lot of these opportunities. So I think one of the great things that through this program we've been able to do is just provide that in a way that's more organized and help our participants kind of think ahead on the timing and making sure that they can actually take the time to do these things intentionally and engage in these things. And we're also ensuring that they have the resources, whether financial through our program, to be able to take these trainings. And then there's other more flexible parts that try to fill in where there may be gaps in specific interests that women are interested in that are kind of electives. And I'll let Mike maybe take it from there on those parts.
Sure. You know, one of the things that we do have at the University of Utah are a lot of training opportunities for leadership. There are a multitude of seminars and workshops and other trainings that anybody can take. And the issue, I would say, with that is that many of them are, I mean, they're all optional. They're elective. People can take them if and when they want. And I think what happens is people just don't feel like they have the opportunity to take advantage of that. So they're, you know, they're very busy. They have a lot of different things going on in their careers. And taking the time or making the time for these different opportunities is very difficult. And especially, I would say, for women faculty who already have a lot of competing priorities, you know, inside and outside of work. And so what we try to do with this program that we're creating is to, as Dr. Mahanty said, you know, help them sort of create the space for it, but also create the infrastructure so that within a concentrated period of time, you know, they can plan for these activities and opportunities and engage with them. And so that by the time they've finished with the program, they've done a lot more than probably they would have otherwise, because we've given them the resources and the time and the opportunity to do that.
I think another wonderful aspect of this program is that there's the immersion part of it, where the participants are actually getting kind of exposure to leadership, you know, attending, you know, meetings and kind of being involved, more engaged, kind of while they're completing the training. So it's much more applied. And then in addition, there's the community aspect where they're, you know, the 11 participants are kind of gaining that cohort effect and hopefully, you know, kind of being able to share ideas and experiences as they go through the program and develop that, you know, very essential networking aspect of becoming leaders in academic medicine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the immersion is kind of one of the big parts of this program. It's in the title. It's the Leadership Immersion Program. And, you know, that for us, I think it serves two purposes. One is to, like you said, have these individuals immersed in leadership so that they are around leaders more. They see what leaders do, and they, you know, can see what's going on in the department in leadership positions and how they, how different leaders, you know, make decisions or take action in different things. And so they get more exposure to how leadership is done on a day-to-day basis. But also it serves the purpose, kind of like what I had mentioned before, which is when opportunities arise, we want, you know, our leaders to be thinking of them when, you know, openings happen or new opportunities arise. And so it helps them to, you know, understand leadership better and to understand the experience of leadership better, but also, you know, brings them to the to the forefront when new opportunities arise so that they're the first ones to be thought of.
Yeah, and a wonderful part to that immersion piece is that we've been able to do these journal clubs that happen in the evenings at our chairs, who's been very generous to host us at his home and have, you know, dinner. We meet with the other vice chairs and division chiefs. So there's that opportunity, again, to kind of network and build those relationships with established leaders and with our participants. And they facilitate relevant discussions on leadership skills, important conversations being able to hold, crucial conversations, you know, great relevant topics as they become, you know, leaders in our center.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the journal club was probably the idea that really started all of this, and it was the idea of our department chair, John Inadami, and I think he wanted to start this journal club as a means of bringing department leadership together to talk about leadership and to read about leadership and to, you know, have more camaraderie among leadership so that, you know, these topics are, you know, people feel more comfortable talking about these topics and learning from them. And, you know, what we had done after that idea started getting bounced around was to say, you know, how can we make this a little bit more than that? And can we invite other people to this type of event, especially people who we would like to introduce more to leadership and, you know, get them more comfortable with this idea of leadership. And so the Journal Club, you know, kind of expanded to include, you know, some faculty who we think would be interested in leadership. And then we kind of expanded from there to make it more of a program where we're actually including other things besides the Journal Club so that they can have more experiences, you know, with leadership, with our department leaders, with trainings and other things like that.
I'd like to jump in on this Journal Club idea because you said it was kind of the core, the beginning of this whole thing. Talk me through what exactly it was. Like, you say, hey, we're going to do a Journal Club. Well, first of all, what kind of reaction did you get when you said that? And then from a, you know, execution standpoint, what happens at the Journal Clubs?
Yeah, well, I'll say it was our department chair's idea to do the Journal Club. And so my reaction,
yes, yeah.
my reaction was like, oh, a Journal Club. Okay.
Was it really? So you were just a little skeptical maybe? Or
a little skeptical. Yeah. I mean, it's a good idea. But again, it's one of those things where like, okay, who's really going to jump at this idea to go to a Journal Club, especially when you're talking about leadership topics? Yeah. But, you know, the idea behind a Journal Club is to identify a piece, whether it's, you know, a journal article or maybe a chapter from a book or something like that, that, you know, each person is asked to read, and then you kind of dive, you know, deeply into it and have conversations around what's the meaning behind it and how does that, you know, affect or impact us. And, they, you know, they can be, you know, very, you know, interesting and fruitful conversations, especially when you get people, you know, committed to doing that. And so we thought that, you know, if we can get other department leaders, in particular division chiefs, to to sign up on, you know, for that, then, you know, we would have a good core to start with. And then having the, you know, the other faculty as part of this leadership immersion program participating with that, then that sort of brings a different aspect to not only are they discussing a topic, but they're helping to, they're helping, you know, these folks to understand it and teach a little bit along the way.
Dr. Mohani, your thoughts on that journal club? Did you think it would work?
I thought it was, you know, exciting to just be able to, I'm 1 year into my vice chair role, so I'm looking for all opportunities to grow into this role. I think I was pretty excited about it. And
how many people showed up for that first one?
For the first one, probably. Oh,
everybody. Yeah. There were probably, 20? Let's see.
Yeah, wow.
Over 20 people. Yeah.
And how did you sell that to get that kind of response? I mean, I would have expected maybe a couple people would be like, oh, I'm kind of curious.
Well, you know, it comes from the department chair.
Yeah, helps. Okay, so the lesson.
Food is involved. Very good food.
Food, yeah, that's a big one, too.
So we're learning two lessons. First of all, if it comes from the top, that helps. And if you got some food, that helps as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Did you face any challenges or anything? And then if not, tell me about some of the successes that's come out of these discussions.
Yeah, so I think one helpful thing is that this is once every other month, so it's not so the journal clubs are not so frequent that it's challenging that way. We also do did collect some information on a survey about, you know, best ways to make sure that this journal club is meeting the needs of participants about timing and you know, even the food. So just making sure it's kind of meeting what people, what their needs are. Go ahead if you have thoughts, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Journal Club served a number of purposes. I mean, it is a great way to have conversations about leadership and for people in the program to learn about, you know, these leaders and how they do it and how they think about it. But it is also a way to bring together, you know, department leadership as well as this group and, you know, in a social setting. And I think it was something that we do as a department in a social level that, you know, maybe we weren't doing as much before. So I think it does bring people together, and I think people really enjoy the experience, and it kind of, you know, helps everybody be more comfortable with each other and comfortable talking about topics like these.
So that's just one component of then this overall leadership immersion program. What are some of the other aspects that you added on later, and what was the reason for that?
So we just, a couple of weeks ago, we had our mid-program retreat, 2 days, and I just thought it was a huge success. I think everyone really appreciated, you know, they actually mentioned that the participants had, you know, think it would be great to have this even maybe sooner in the program. Something like this. It was a great way for our participants to, you know, all be together. We had a facilitator kind of walk us through journeys of leadership, thinking about kind of what your vision is as a leader, being very intentional. And also we had an amazing leadership panel of established women leaders in our institution kind of talk about their experiences and their journey to leadership. And it was just a very fruitful discussion.
Yeah, the retreat was fantastic. And, you know, we utilized, again, some of the resources we have at the university, including a lot of the teachings of Tony Tsai, who does a lot of our faculty development for the university. And so he's a fantastic resource for leading discussions and conversations around leadership. And it just, I think everybody really appreciated the attention and the ability to just get together as a small group and talk about the issues that they're facing and the challenges they're facing as they take on leadership positions and try to work towards other leadership positions. One of the main reasons for organizing a program like this, like I said earlier, was to try to help take advantage of all the different resources that we have at the university and do it in a way that you know, allow people to organize it over a specific period of time. So in this case, we wanted this to be a 2-year program. So the idea is at the end of the 2 years, you know, they will plan for and take advantage of all of these different opportunities and have all of that experience to draw on so that they're ready for any leadership opportunities that come along. And we wanted to include, you know, as many of these things as possible without sort of overloading them with too much. But we thought one thing that was really important for them to have was mentorship from a leader at the university. So each of the participants is asked to identify a leadership mentor at the university. So somebody who, you know, maybe is a role model for them or somebody they look up to, you know, who can help them, help guide them, you know, in their current leadership responsibilities and to understand, you know, some of the challenges they faced, you know, as they took on leadership positions so that they have mentorship, you know, from a very specific leadership, you know, standpoint. And they can meet with them, you know, as often as they think is necessary, whether it's once a month or once every several months. It's really up to them to decide that. Another thing that we wanted them to do was to complete what we call like a career development plan. And we sort of modified a very traditional career development plan into something that we call a leadership development plan, which is a document that they would complete where they can explore and try to understand and engage in some self-reflection about what kind of skills or other tools or resources they might need in their journey to become leaders, and then identify some very specific goals that they have for leadership, which they can then talk about with their mentors and with their peers and others. And so, again, these are just some of the other components of the program we tried to include as well.
Would you say that it's safe to say that a big component of this is just getting people together and talking and creating relationships?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It sounds so simple,
agree.
Doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we have we sort of organized it around six different components. One of those components we call community, and that's really what it is. We're trying to create a community of potential leaders, and so that we want them to get to know each other as well as our department leaders. And our hope is, as they grow into leaders themselves, they have other people within the group that are also becoming leaders, and so they're becoming leaders together, and they have that cohort that that they all know, from this experience.
And then, what are the other components?
Okay, so yeah, the way we've organized it is that there are three components that we consider to be required components, and then the other three are optional. So the three required components, community is one, and that's where, again, through the journal club and through other experiences like the retreat, they get to know each other, they get to know department leaders, and that just forms this community of future leaders that we that we hope will know each other and grow together. The other two required components, one is mentoring, so I mentioned that. So each of them has a leadership mentor that they've identified, and they they complete the leadership development plan as part of that. And then the third required component is this idea of immersion. So we wanted each of them to be immersed in leadership, over these 2 years of this program, so that they they can experience, all different aspects of leadership. They can see how leadership is, performed and what kinds of decisions people are making and how they make those decisions. And then, just see what it's like to be, a leader in the Department of Medicine. So we have mentoring, immersion, and community as the required components.
We're also, really thinking that each participant has their own kind of needs in terms of, skills that they're trying to acquire through this program. So the three other components are coaching. And so there's a, for instance, the mid-career coaching program through the University of Utah has, some senior leadership coaching and peer coaching opportunity trainings, skills training. So that is, there's a menu of short-term courses, seminars, and other trainings, for things on, running meetings, finances, for school medicine or, department level, former mentoring training, and then also the leadership training. So that's the third sort of optional component. And that's, things like AAMC has the leadership mentor or leadership training opportunities, and the University of Utah also has a leadership training series. So those are all, some of the different optional coaching, skills training, and leadership training.
And if an institution was interested in trying to have a more formalized program to empower women physicians to become leaders, to give them the skills that they need, what would you say to them? Where should they start?
We have a number of resources available, and Dr. Mahanty has highlighted some of them, but they're just, I wouldn't say they're scattered, but they're not organized in a way that people can, very efficiently engage in a certain set of activities that will give them an experience that might, overall prepare them for, in this case, leadership. And so what we wanted to do was, you know, try to collect everything that we know about, both here at the university and external to the university, all of those things that they could do, and then organize it, or at least provide an infrastructure for it so that, you know, again, over a specific period of time, in our case 2 years, they can plan it out and execute that so that, you know, they're doing what they would like to do and get the experience they would like to have without necessarily having to just be on their own and do it, you know, in a way that might not be as organized, or they might not be able to just find the time for it if they were kind of just having to do it on their own. You know, each institution, if they're interested in something like this, each institution probably has their own menu of leadership training, you know, courses or seminars. They also are probably well aware of external trainings, like through the AAMC. They probably also have, you know, some form of coaching program, all of these things that exist there, but they're just not organized in a way that is, you know, that allows them, it allows people to, you know, follow a set course over 2 years, so that, or whatever the duration is that they would like, so that they emerge on the other side with, you know, having accomplished all of those things. That was really what I was trying to get at with this program, was to provide a framework for all of these trainings without having to develop all of these different trainings, because they already exist there, both at the university and elsewhere. But just provide this framework so that people could engage in these in a very sort of set schedule, and feel like at the end of that particular period of time, they will have accomplished and experienced a great deal that helps prepare them for leadership when that opportunity comes.
Yeah, no, I think that another, like, again, the leadership development plan really sets out a great kind of format to be thinking about how you want to structure your own personalized sort of leadership growth plan. So I think that, you know, that would be sort of an initial step that another institution could easily, you know, implement, I would think.
Well, thank you very much for spending time to discuss this important issue of developing women leaders in academic medicine, Dr. Mohanty and Dr. Rubin. Appreciate your time and your expertise.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah.